This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my goal is to, you know, someday get to retirement where our guest Ted Leitner has cost it. Now, you're not fully retired.
I am not retired. I hate to do this, but Dick Enberg was like that at the end. He did not want to hear that word. And we get done with the game. We take the bus to San Francisco to the hotel. And Dick and I are walking across the lobby. And a bunch of Padre fans always came up to L.A. and San Francisco, still do, to see the team, see the boys. And somebody yells out, "Hey, Dick, enjoy your retirement." And Dick lost it and said, "I'm not retiring. I don't know where you heard that from, but I'm not retiring." And I said, Professor, easy, man. Take it easy. They don't mean anything by that. But broadcasters, like whether it's Dick or me or whomever, and whether it's you, we love it. We love it so much that it becomes part of us and we can't think of retirement. And I would have never thought of retirement had I not started to have big time eye problems from glaucoma. It's not a secret. And it's much more difficult to follow those little balls, even the big balls, when you can't see.
But you will always have a job, even, you know, no more TV, even when the radio and the play by play are done. And as great as you were at all of that.
Thank you.
You are, bar none, the greatest event host, moderator that has ever lived. And, you know, I think back to the many events that I've attended over the years, Tony Gwynn's memorial, where it wouldn't feel right in San Diego. I mean, you could be doing that forever. You can, and I don't understand because I get nervous when I stand up in front of people. This is different. On the radio, I can't see the audience. On television, I can't see the audience. Right. But when I stand up and there's people there, I get shaky and nervous, and you look so comfortable up there. How do you do that?
The deodorant fails, and you get that big wet spot on both sides, and then you do a joke, and it's crickets, and you think, "Oh, I wish I was
dead."
You
look so comfortable.
I really wish I was dead. And let me tell you, I tell this to young groups of young people all the time, or groups of not so young people, that they did research about this, that people actually fear public speaking more than dying.
Yeah.
Seinfeld always does that joke about, "So you mean you're telling me you'd rather be in the coffin than give the eulogy? Is that what you're saying?" And that's the deal. And I wrote this in my book several years ago, would cut school and face the wrath of my father, whose temper was just to the left of Genghis Khan, and know that I was a dead man when I got home, but I would not get up figuring on going by the L's or going by where we sat in the row and have to give an oral report in front of 15 people, and I would cut school. That's how fearful I was of doing that. So many times that I stood at home plate by myself or with Jerry Coleman emceeing, and I would take a deep breath and look at the upper deck full of people, 40,000, and be so excited and so can't wait. I love this so much. And I start to laugh. Said, "How the hell did you wind up standing here? You couldn't get up in front of 10 or 15 people or put three sentences together." And I tell people, you can overcome that. Like Muhammad Ali always said, you got to confront your fear. He had a fear of fighting. he had a fear of fighting and didn't want to fight. So somebody stole his bicycle. You've heard that story. And so he goes to the gym and he trains. He trains so he's going to find this guy that took his bike and beat the crap out of him. And he did. And find out, hey, kid, you're really good at this. Your hands are so fast, and you're this, and you're that. And he became Muhammad Ali, that kind of a thing. And so I just, when I do that MC stuff and love it so much, the contact and the immediacy of the reaction, I cannot believe that it's me. And if I can do it,
amazing.
Anybody can do it.
The true master of ceremonies.
Thank
Ted
you.
Leitner.
No, so, I appreciate that. And the same thing with going through all the criticism. And it's difficult when you're being criticized, even if your own management does it. Sometimes you go through that. I remember working for Joan Kroc, and who I was close to, but we had the jail-a-thon for the Cancer Society. I believe it was Cancer Society. The jail-a-thon, where alleged celebrities would be arrested by members of the sheriff's department and the police department, and they would be held in jail until they raised
enough
money
bail to get
them out.
Enough
people would bid. So Mrs. Kroc called the Cancer Society and said, "Did you arrested Ted?" "Yes." "Okay, I will give you $50,000 if you keep him in the jail." And they said, that's not how it works. Mrs. Kroc. "No, that's what I want you to do." And this was someone I was close to. And she wrote them a check for $50,000.
How long did you stay in there?
And they kept me in there till late at night. Not overnight, with the drunks and whoever else.
But, like, okay, guys, it's over now.
It's funny. All right, funny joke. It's time.
And it was always like that. It was always like that. And even the ones I thought were, I was close with the owners, but still, you're saying stuff about them being in collusion. Back then in the 80s, I would mention that on the air, and Mrs. Kroc would call the CEO and say, "Are we paying him? Why? He said we're in collusion." "Well, you are. You are. I can't be honest." And took all the other owners and kissed my owner and say they're not when they were in 1987. So those kind of things. But you have to have people who will let you get away with it, or you're done. So don't think you're so great and you're so talented. You're there because people are supporting you, and that's why you made it.
So when you were at, when your schedule was at its very busiest, obviously, and I've got the morning show and the TV at night, but you had play-by-play, like late 80s, early 90s. Like, what was the maximum Ted Leitner in your career?
The maximum was 1998.
Okay.
When I was doing the sports in the morning at 7:15 and 8:15 with Hudson and Bauer, a wonderful, fun time. Just to laugh and laugh and laugh. And it was just, and people thought Mac was the straight guy. No, Mac was the funny guy. Joe was the straight guy. And then together, they could both be funny together. They brought the humor out of each of them. And just to be with them for that 4 or 5 minute segment was just unbelievable. To where we would laugh and laugh and laugh and trash sponsors. And this sponsor would cancel because I said something about them. It happened one time. And they said, "What happened to you? They said you're all delayed on your flight and all that stuff." In the back of my mind, I said, shut up. They just warned you about talking about sponsors. What? And so Max says, what airline was it? And I can't say. Of course you can say. You're on the airline. Don't be a wuss. What airline was it? So I say, well, I can't really say, but I'll say this. They served a continental breakfast, and they fly continental, coast to coast, but I can't tell you what airline it was. That was the old Continental Airlines. And so I get done, Continental cancels, and so the late, great Paul Palmer, our general manager, calls me, and he says, "You know, Ted, when you die, they're going to have to hire pallbearers. That's what you're like. You're driving me nuts. You cost me another sponsor. Stop it. But we're having so much fun. I don't care. Have fun without saying stuff about the sponsors and the players and the management and the owners are calling me." And it was just a perfect storm to get away with it, have so much fun, get paid well, and just
have a ball.
You're
doing the radio in the morning. And
so
then
7:15, 8:15, I'm sorry.
Sidetrack.
7:15, 8:15 morning sports with Hudson and Bauer. And then I would do probably a luncheon speech or something like that, speaking to all the different Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions Club, and try to be in the community and raise money with charities and so forth. And then I would do the 5 o'clock sports on Channel 8. But at 5:15, I would walk down the hall, do a segment with Mark Larson, called Larson with Leitner. And in the middle of his show, I would do a 5:15 sports cast and then get done there at the radio part of the station and then walk right to the TV studio. studio to do the first segment, which was called Son of Sports, a little baby size sports segment at 5:20 something, and then get done with that, and then wait for the main sports at 5:43, and then get done and drive to the ballpark and fill out my scorecard and see Jerry Coleman. We talk about the game and all that, and then I'd take the live minicam and do the 6 o'clock sports.
I remember you sitting in the booth doing your
booth, and yeah. I would after we get my scorecard and book all ready to go and read as much as I possibly can. I could not then go down on the field and chat with the boys like I did later, or go in a clubhouse like you should to get information. And you should have seen when I came in a clubhouse what it was like. Oh my God, somebody's going to die, somebody's going to get killed here, that sort of thing. And once again, the Garve would defend me. The Garve would defend me. When Gossage and guys like that wanted to literally choke me to death, the Garve would come to my aid. So I'd get done with getting ready for the game upstairs, and then do the 6:40 sports, and then go back on to start the broadcast with Jerry at 7 o'clock and get done at around 10:15 sometimes, 10:20, and then get in the car and try to leave before the last out to beat the traffic to get back to Kearney Mesa to Channel 8 and do the 11 o'clock sports and get home and try to unwind. You know that. You can't do that.
No.
You're not only wired, not still. Only are you just done a performance of 3 hours and your adrenaline is flowing, but then you have to go to sleep and perform at 7:15 and you're thinking about doing the second segment, first segment, and it was insanity. And it was killing my marriages. I was never there. I was working all the time. And it killed my marriages. And I take full blame for all of that stuff. And it's the old, you know, in this business that they want you to do something, do it, because there'll come a time they don't want you to do it, and you're yesterday's news, and you're gone. So I would say yes to everything, and it was too much,
and
without question.
And, you know, games on the weekends, and you're traveling,
right,
which is a whole nother level ball game.
Oh, yeah.
For the road trips and everything.
Yeah.
And yet you survived. So
I survived and like I said, made good money, gave it to my ex-wives. I was very generous. Very generous. But that's another story another time. And they're doing very well. They have beautiful homes in Orange County, Scottsdale, wherever, and they're doing well. But I have $42 in the bank. And
we'll do a GoFundMe for you. It's fine.
Exactly.
San Diego will make sure. That
let's give this man.
You're taking well care of the rest of the time.
He needs money for food. Yeah. Please help him. But it was just a ball. I had a great time with great people, like I said, who supported me. And this audience in San Diego, they gave me my career, pure and simple. And they've taken care of me and said wonderful things on X about that contact and with their listening to Padre games with me and Jerry and then with me and same with the Aztecs over all of these years. And I thank you all so very much.
So in your last few years calling Padres baseball, you had a chance to work with our friend Jesse Adler.
You bet I did.
Very smart.
Smart?
Smart young man, isn't he?
I called him NASA.
So I don't know. People in our chat are wondering if you were ever in on it. So starting about 5 years ago, we developed a weekly segment. He would join us on Tuesday mornings, and we called it The Incorporator. And we would give Jesse a weird word that he had to work into the broadcast somewhere.
Had no business being in a baseball game.
Tuesday night.
Yeah, I remember. Something
strange. You do remember it.
So I do remember,
The very first one, you guys were in Baltimore, just where the Padres were last week.
Right.
And the very first Incorporator word was mayonnaise. And he had to try to get mayonnaise into the broadcast.
Some time away from the game yesterday as well. Much to do here, of course. Walk around that inner harbor. Got a great aquarium, some great historic sites. Certainly, you could grab a crab cake somewhere. And that is the regional delicacy of choice for a lot of people. You got to be careful, though, with your crab cakes. You don't want the ones with too much filler. Here's the 1-2. And a swing and a miss. Nunez strikes out. Now two down here in the bottom of the third inning. Second strikeout of the night for Logan Allen. So you got your crab meat, your lump crab meat, your mayonnaise, your breadcrumbs, your spices and herbs,
smooth.
All that goes into it. But sometimes too many breadcrumbs, too much filler, not as good. So you got to know where to go to get your great crab cakes. Two outs and the base is empty. Padres leading 5-1 in the bottom of the third inning.
Thank you, Bobby Flay.
Yes. Well, you know, a little bit of a foodie, a little bit of a food snob.
I'm a little bit of an eater. Snob, got nothing to do with it.
If I had so much fun with my partners And it was just, I mean, and I worked 2 years of the pay-per-view with Joe Garagiola. I mean, you talk about laughter and Jerry Coleman and Bob Chandler and Dave Campbell and then Jesse. It was just absolutely kismet. It was so wonderful. And working with Jerry, you know, every day, it's, Jerry, what'd you do today? Well, I got up and I walked, you know, we changed hotels in Denver, so I'm walking around and I get lost in Denver because we're not at that hotel we're normally at. I know that. And I can't remember the hotel name. And so a police officer comes up to me and says, you need some help, sir? And I said, yeah, I'm with the Padres. We're here doing a broadcast and they're playing the Rockies tonight, but I can't remember where we're staying. So it turned out we left the Hyatt because they were full with the convention, but we went to the Embassy Suites. So the officer says to Jerry, well, can you remember the name of the hotel or a word in there? And Jerry says, I think it's something like the NBC Suites. The NBC Suites. Cop says, I don't know of any NBC Suites, but let's go walking around. Maybe something will jar your memory. And then he finally says, no, not NBC Suites. Embassy Suites. This is after the walking around.
I love the what did you do today, Jerry, question. I look forward to it every broadcast.
And I would laugh
I'm
so
sure
hard.
Some people hated it, but I loved it.
I would laugh so hard, and then I would tell him, hey, I wait out there after every game here at Wrigley Field. I cannot get a cab. How do you get a cab for us yesterday? We walked right out there, and he pulls up, and he stops right in front of us. The people have been waiting for a half hour. They're yelling and screaming at us. We get in the cab. Jerry, how do you do that? And he says, well, first of all, you got to expose yourself. And I say, pardon, Gracie? Those of you old enough to remember Gracie and George Burns and Gracie Allen. Well, what Gracie? You gotta expose yourself. And now I'm choking on my Coke. I cannot say, what do you mean? And Jerry sees where I'm going. I know, you know what I mean. You gotta expose yourself. You gotta walk right out into the street and make the cabbie stop right there. And by exposing yourself that way. And we're laughing so hard. And then he realizes what he said and he starts to go and you can't. Like I said, I would have paid them not just to work with these guys, including Jesse.
So we've been chasing. Thank you, Bobby Flay. It was the perfect reaction to the first one. I think the other one, everyone wants to hear it. So I think a few weeks later.
Yeah,
the word for Jesse was diphthong was the word that he had to work into the broadcast. Here's what it sounded like.
3-2, swing and a miss, back-to-back K's. Yeah, the linguists out there.
Oh, they're always there.
The phonologists.
Always there. And I tried to remember the Grissini's supermarkets that are in New York City in Manhattan, kind of a little boutique. So I took that R and then remembered Grissini's to get Aristides.
Okay.
So far, so good.
Not bad at all. You got to do whatever you can.
By association, sure.
You get all the different things you have to worry about with that, your semi-vowels.
Yeah.
Your diphthongs, your triphthongs, your vowel breaking, all the different ways to say stuff. And you want to say it the right way for these guys.
I pulled my diphthong in college.
Oh, you don't like to do that.
I was out for like 6 weeks. Terrible.
Excuse your beak.
Yes.
That absolutely floored us when we played that the next morning. And the whole time that Jesse was doing the incorporator with you in the booth, we were going, I wonder if Ted just catches on or if Jesse views it as a challenge to just slip the words in and see if Ted even notices. And
no.
Man,
no, I didn't know when they were coming, and I didn't know when the soliloquy would start, where he was going or what he was slipping in there. And then when he slipped it in there, it was just, you shouldn't have that much fun. You should not be able to get paid.
Today now with Tony Jr., and we try to see if Tony picks up on it or not.
Oh, there's no question. It's just absolutely amazing. And the times I worked with Tony Jr., who was Anthony my entire life.
Me too,
Yeah, he was always Anthony, and then he became Tony Jr., and to me, he'll always be Anthony. And we did a game in Washington, and it was my last year, in fact, 2020, and he said something. There's a way he says fastball, and you know who said that, of course. It was just like his dad was still here, and I heard it, and I went to the commercial break, and I turned my head because I started to cry when I heard Anthony sound as he does, just like his dad. And so I'm turning my head away from him, and he says, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he said, I sounded just like my dad then, didn't I? I said, Anthony, you have no idea. And I could not maintain my composure. And the fact that we have him, and not just it's the old, you got the job because you're dad. No. He's terrific and can analyze the you-know-what out of it and so great and just a great person. That, oh, there's... There's the laugh.
You still have the recording on your
I have the recording of that laugh, which is from a segment of doing car commercials that Tony is doing car commercials, Tony Sr. doing car commercials. And that laugh is just the most infectious thing in the world. It is on my iPhone, and it will always be on my iPhone.
I had a similar experience. It was probably a few months after Tony had passed away, and I had texted Anthony, who I also knew as Anthony.
Sure.
And he didn't get back to me right away, and I kind of forgotten about it. And I was driving to Channel 10. I remember exactly where I was in the car, and the phone rings in my car, and I don't see it. So I just hit the button, and I hear that. I go, hello. And he goes, hey, Ben, it's Tony Gwynn. And I almost crashed my car, and I go, oh, but you're dead. And then I finally go, oh, it's Anthony. It's because it sounded just like him.
No, it's fascinating.
And I was like, oh, my God.
I have had that happen to me with many people who had passed away.
Yeah.
And you're at a banquet or luncheon, and you think you see them, someone that looks like them. And your first thought is, there's, of course not, it can't be him. Gosh, the guy who played Mike Connors on the Mannix TV show was always confused with the guy David Jansen who played the fugitive
the
TV
right, show. Yeah.
And literally after one had died, the other would still have people come up and say, "You're the guy who died." That's what they would say. Think how stupid that is. You're the guy who died.
You're the guy who died.
Yeah.
No, you're the guy who died. No, that's not me, actually.
That's what people think that what you heard when you heard Anthony, and it sounded so much like his dad. It was just absolutely amazing.
Ted, thank you so much for coming in. This has been fantastic.
I had a great time.
I would love to do it again. I'd love to do it when Woods is here, because I think he would get an absolute ball about hearing some of these stories as well. He has become such a huge Padres fan.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, he lived up in Connecticut as well, in Texas, and then has come out here and made San Diego. He has embraced it fully. He's never leaving it. Just like you've never left. And
who goes back to the real world?
You know, exactly.
After you've been in America's finest city, and come on.
Uncle Teddy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Ted Leitner, Padres Hall of Famer, ambassador, with a really fun last 80 minutes. Don't go away. We got a couple segments left. Eno Saris is going to join us from The Athletic. We'll talk about the Padres' new bullpen coming up. All ahead after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, what a fun last hour plus. That was a treat to have Ted Leitner in the studio. He's still got the A-game, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Kidding me?
You get him going? I mean, that is... I was stunned when he told us that he was a terrified public speaker growing up, that he cut school to avoid speaking in front of the class. And now he gets up in front of, you know, an entire stadium full of people and can MC better than anyone I've ever seen in my life. And, of course, he's still got another season of Aztecs basketball coming up later this year. I hope it's a good one. He can go out on top. He's been fantastic. But he's not going anywhere. He's a part of this fabric of this community, and that was a real treat to have him in studio. We got Eno Saris coming up in a second. I don't want to be an alarmist, Paulie, for Padres fans.
Uh-oh.
But I will say,
you're about to be an alarmist.
Well, after the game and after Mike Schilts had spoken last night. The Padres PR staff announced the pitching probables for the upcoming series against the Colorado Rockies. And right away, you can tell there's a change in the rotation. Randy Vasquez will start tomorrow's series opener. Then newcomer Martin Perez is going to start on Saturday. And then they listed Sunday as TBA. Now, the reason why, you know, got my interest is that Michael King hasn't started since last Saturday. So he would definitely be in turn, even with the off days, to start sometime in this series. And the fact that the Padres aren't willing to commit to him, even on Sunday with extra rest, makes me wonder what's going on. And there can be different explanations for it. One, obviously, they've been watching his innings closely, and maybe they're using the off day and another one on Monday just to skip his turn in the rotation if they can, just to save some innings for later in the season. He's perfectly healthy. He's been pitching great. That would probably be the best-case scenario. There's also a strategic possibility. You got the Rockies, who are a last-place team. You're about to face the Pirates, who are a wild card contending team. Maybe you want to save him for the start of the road
trip. Get on board with that.
Against the Pirates. So maybe there's a strategic consideration. And if you have another option you can go with on Sunday, then maybe that's what the Padres are thinking. And then, of course, there's the alarmist, you know, what can go wrong is going to go wrong. Is there something health-wise that is concerning about Michael King that is keeping him out of the probables for this upcoming series against the Colorado Rockies? Again, we don't know. That's it. They left last night. That's all they left us with was two probables and a TBA and no further explanation. And I imagine we will ask Mike Schilt about it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't promise you that he'll get us an answer. But at some point, they're going to have to say something about Michael King and what's going on. So just something to keep an eye on, something to follow up on, and we'll certainly continue to look into it. Hopefully, it's just nothing at all. Hopefully, this is just smart strategy by the San Diego Padres going forward, but it is definitely worth at least noting to Padres fans in the audience. All right, when we come back, our Smart Baseball segment, Eno Saris is going to join us, and I want to talk more about the new Padres relievers, their stuff plus numbers, what Eno thinks about these deadline deals and how the Padres improve themselves at the trade deadline. We'll do that next year with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. A couple quick questions in the chat about the speculation I just centered around Michael King and why he wasn't included in the probable starting pitchers for the upcoming series. Someone asked, well, could Joe Musgrove be starting? No, Padres said Joe Musgrove's going to start on Sunday, but somewhere in their minor league system on a rehab start. And then someone said, well, maybe Johnny Brito's coming up. Johnny Brito got lit up, 4 runs and 2/3 of an inning last night at AAA in his first start since they gave him a couple of weeks off with, I think it was forearm tightness or something. So don't think he's starting on Sunday either. Now, I did get a tweet from Punkball76, who said, I spoke with Michael King last night. He's starting Sunday. Don't get your panties in a knot. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. Maybe that makes you feel better. Thank you for that, Punkball.
Unknot your panties, Ben.
76. Eno Saris is standing by. We'll get some smart baseball right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark, by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Been a couple of weeks. We had the All-Star break, and then Eno was on vacation last week, so it is a pleasure to welcome him back. Now, Eno, Woods is on vacation this week, so you got me and Paul, but how was your All-Star break? How was your vacation? What have you been up to?
It was good. I was up in Seattle, went all over the place, and packed a lot of stuff in, including a Mariners game right before the deadline when it seemed like they couldn't score a run. but it was a fun time.
So, Punkball76's report notwithstanding, when you look at guys who are approaching innings career highs or exceeding them, like Garrett Crochet, like Michael King, it's an interesting dilemma, isn't it, for organizations that think, you know, well, we're hoping to be in the playoffs, but we kind of need you to get there, but we also want you to be able to pitch once you get there. What do you kind of think about that juggling act that the Padres are going to have to do now for the last couple of months of the season?
Yeah, it is pretty interesting, and I think that's why, in the end, Garrett Crochet didn't move at the deadline, because people didn't know what to do with him, wouldn't know if they had him for the playoffs, because he's way past his skis in terms of innings pitched. In terms of Michael King, at least there's some precedent in way back in career. In 2017, he threw 149 innings. In 2018, he was over 100. So, and he's been building to this point. So I do think, and he's a veteran too. It's not a kid that you're trying to get somewhere, you know. So I think they'll be okay with him in the end. I'm not seeing any real drop off in the velo for Michael King. And you know, another thing you would look for is a change in his release point. Those are things that people look for when they say that we're monitoring him and we're making sure. And over the course of this year, I'm just checking real quick. I have not. There's been a little bit of a drop in the release point, but not much. It's not much that I would get worried about. So I think he's fine, and they're trying to manage it and make sure they have him in October, because it's looking more and more like they'll get one of these wild card slots, and they're more competitive even in the division.
So obviously the Padres did not pick up a starting pitcher at the deadline, but they did add three relievers, including two really premium guys. And I know it's just two games against the Dodgers, but the bullpen factored in both. The comeback on Tuesday, Eno, when they could go to Matsui in the fifth and bring in Morahone, even though they're down two, and then Estrada and go aggressively. And yesterday we saw a couple of the new guys in Jason Adam, and we did see Hoeing. We still haven't even seen Tanner Scott. I wanted to get your impression on the Padres' moves, kind of the stuff plus numbers that we're seeing from some of the new guys that are coming in, and what you think the ultimate impact is going to be.
Well, they shot to the top of the market. Tanner Scott had the best stuff on the market in terms of relievers. And, there's a lot of talk out there that, maybe I saw the word fleeced and all this stuff. And I think, one, we know that AJ Preller is really good at scouting, and that this organization will find some more players in this draft and the next. But also on top of that, there are some real questions about each of the players they gave up. I don't mean to speak ill of these players. They're better at baseball than I've ever been. But, Mazur's fastball may not have been good enough to be a starter. We saw that he struggled to strike guys out at the major league level. And Robbie Snelling, he stuck at 92 miles an hour with poor vertical break on his fastball. 80 mile an hour slider, the number in the major leagues for a slider is 85. So he needs a lot of sort of velocity and development to get back some of the promise he had. Even if, the walk rate thing is not a big deal, he still has some other work to do on his stuff. So I think it was a good idea to go for it, given the composition of this roster. And another thing to remember, in today's baseball, relievers pitch half of the game. I mean, that's the average. If you're looking at innings across the baseball and whatever, relievers pitch half the innings. So to go out and get a bullpen now that's five, six strong, seven maybe, that's great. That's going to keep them in there if they have to take somebody out early. I think they also just thought, why go get a starting pitcher that's worse than, Joe Musgrove or Yu Darvish? Just hope to get those guys back and get them back to where they can be.
I have a question for you. We saw Alec Jacob come in yesterday, struck out the side in the seventh inning. Now, he does not throw hard at all, but I saw some writing about the extension that he has. And basically, can you explain, what that is and why it's important for relievers, and what you think of Alec Jacob?
Yeah, extension is important. It's not the only thing. There is no only thing. You have velocity, you have vertical movement. These things are really important. All of them are important. One thing that extension does is just that you're giving the batter less time. And it can be a big deal. You're talking about a foot and a foot between some of the big extenders. Logan Gilbert throws 94, but he throws His extension is 7 foot plus, maybe 7.5 feet.
So that means you're closer to the plate when you're releasing the ball, essentially shortening the distance and basically increasing the perceived speed from the perspective of the batter.
Yeah, exactly. And so they've looked at this in terms of, there's a word of sort of perceived velocity. It can be a difference of 2, 3, 4 miles an hour. You know, Freddie Peralta is another guy, who just jumps at you. Carter Capps, if anybody wants to open up, the archives. I think that, you can be good without it. But who comes to mind if people want to think of the opposite of
extension? Dylan Cease.
He has short arms. But also Padres legend Tyson Ross.
Okay, yeah. Tall guy. You'd think he has a ton of extension, but not really.
But he didn't really use his legs. He didn't really get out there. He had a short extension. So, that's part of the story on all these guys. And Snelling does not have great extension. I think it's one of those things. Another reason that teams care about it is it's one of those things that I think is just almost impossible to change. You know what I mean? You're talking about your mechanics. You're going to start leaping out there when you haven't done it ever. You've been throwing this way for years and years and years.
It's like rebuilding your golf swing from scratch. Almost no one does it. Yeah. Tiger did it once, which is one of the most incredible things about him, because you're essentially a different player once you rebuild your swing. You may not be the pitcher you were before. You may not be the golfer you were before. We're talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic. Okay, so the Padres picked up some good relievers. Who else caught your eye at the deadline in terms of the moves when you look at some of your numbers and pitchers especially that were changing teams?
I think it wasn't pitchers, but the Mariners, when I saw them last Tuesday, I thought that maybe Logan Gilbert had to throw a no-hitter for them to win. And the vibe around the team was, we can't score a run. They go out and they get Randy Arozarena, Justin Turner, and, it's not just them. Like, those two guys haven't had all the hits, but there's something also to be a buyer at the deadline where the team says, all right, let's go. Like, the management believes in us. And they've scored a bunch of more runs since that day. It's a big vibe change, I think, for them. Otherwise, I thought that the Red Sox did a pretty good job getting – they got the number 2 and number 4 guys, reliever wise, that were available in terms of stuff plus. And they paid a smaller price for it. I like Lucas Sims. I like Luis Garcia. Padres fans should like Luis Garcia. So those are two guys that they got on the cheap. That stuck out for me. I like what the Orioles did with Eloy Jimenez, because why not make a strength better? I like what they did with Zach Eflin, but I didn't like what they did with Trevor Rogers. I think they gave up, a little bit too much for a guy that I'm not sure will be in the rotation for the rest of his contract. So even in one team, you'll have some swings and misses.
Feels like the Cardinals. I know what you think about Eric Fetty. Obviously, Tommy Pham's had an outsized impact in just two games, but it doesn't feel like they gave up much to improve their team.
Yeah, and that also created something that people should look at in terms of they had to keep the money the same. And so when you're thinking, why did my team get this player or that player? Blake Snell was available. Well, you don't have to pay the whole $30 million. You only have to pay 2 months of it. Well, these people have budgets. These GMs have budgets. And so what I thought the Cardinals did that was so amazing was they pretty much stayed budget neutral by taking Tommy Edman, who'd become a little bit expendable given that they have Brendan Donovan playing all over the place. They have Mason Winn at short. They like their center fielders. So they took that Edman money and they turned it into a starting pitcher that they sorely needed for next year as well, and an extra bat. So I thought that was really smart. On the Dodgers end, they needed a shortstop, and buying a shortstop at the deadline is really hard and not usually done. If Edman gets back to where he was, he can be league average with the glove and league average with the bat, and that would be huge for them to have a shortstop like that. So I thought the Dodgers did pretty well at the deadline, too.
And, you know, since we haven't talked to you since the MLB draft, I don't know how much you got into some of the draft picks, but do you have any thoughts on, obviously, the Padres' first-round pitch, the big left-handed pitcher, Cash Mayfield, who they have already signed, and then another lefty from high school in the second round in Boston, Bateman. He signed as well. Anything notable from the draft that you can share?
Not too much. I like Trey Yesavage. I have some stuff, left numbers on him. He went to the Blue Jays. After he dropped a little bit to like 14 or something, and I thought that was a good pick. Interesting that they took a high school pitcher in the second. In this draft, it was 80% college, 20% high school. And so
AJ, you know, Marsh marches to the beat of his own drummer.
I mean, yeah, yes, he does. But that also means that maybe he saw an opportunity there that other people had passed on this high school arm and shouldn't have.
Eno, appreciate it. We'll let you go. Thank you for adjusting your schedule for us this week, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Eno Saris, our super polished, yet-to-be-named Smart Baseball Weekly segment brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. So it seems like, Paulie, he was pretty high on the additions. And an interesting point when you think about it. Yes, the Padres need starting pitching, and I see the chat. Yeah, they got Martin Perez. Anyone could have got Martin Perez for nothing. That doesn't really count. You didn't address starting pitching by getting Martin Perez. He's just an arm. They have plenty of arms you can throw out there. You want good arms that can actually get outs. But half of the game essentially is now relief pitching. You know, even if a starter goes six, you count extra innings as well. By the time the season
is
over.
It's the exception, no longer the rule, right, for a starter to go seven plus.
It's five a lot. Sometimes it's shorter. Sometimes the game goes extra innings. So by the time the season is over, you'll find that relief pitchers throw just about as many innings as starting pitchers. So why isn't it just as important? We all think, the rotation's the most important thing, and then you figure out the bullpen. But your bullpen is eating as many innings as your starting rotation. So
brains still adjusting to the new style of baseball, I think. Traditionally,
sure,
that was how you thought of how you viewed the game, and it's changed.
Yeah, I mean, if your starters are not getting the job done, you're going to overwork your bullpen, and they'll get tired at the end of the season. But now the Padres have depth. I mean, Alec Jacob is essentially the number seven reliever in the bullpen right now. And he came in and he struck out the side of the Dodgers in the seventh inning. That is a lot of options that Mike Schilt and Ruben Niebla can go with now. And they can keep guys fresh because you're not punting on a game because you're bringing in Logan Gillespie and Steven Kolek. You are putting in a high-quality reliever pretty much no matter what. If you're down five, put in someone. They're probably a pretty good reliever at this point. There are no games where you're going, well, this guy can just eat some innings. Daniel De Los Santos, go give up three home runs. We're just going to lose this one. They don't have any of those guys left in the bullpen. They're all guys you kind of feel pretty good about if they go into the game. By the way, very opportune time for some tendonitis to crop up for Steven Kolek. Because even though he's a Rule 5 draft pick, since he's been on the roster for at least 90 days, the Padres do not have to offer him back to the Mariners. And as long as he's still hurt...
You think a phantom...
No. They would not do that. That's against the rules, Paulie. Hmm. You have to have an injury. The real story is, at this point, pretty much every pitcher has an injury.
Right.
Either they're pitching through it or they're not pitching through it. But there's not a pitcher out there who's 100% healthy at this point, so you don't have to really make up an injury. My guess is he didn't suddenly develop something, but he's probably been kind of just nursing it for a while, and then they said, you know, we don't need you to nurse it anymore. Take your time, get healthy on the injured list, and then we'll welcome you back, or we won't welcome you back, but we will now have your rights
TBD.
Going into next season, another arm that's available out of the bullpen. Great show today. Obviously, Ted Leitner made it, but thanks to Adam Jones and Eno Saris as well.
That was a fun one.
We will have Jordan tomorrow from Cespedes Family Barbecue, I believe.
Yes,
and
Jordan
then
and Mike Schilt.
Mike Schilt at 9 o'clock. Annie and Elston coming up next. For Paul Reindl, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Thursday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.